servanthood as in view from Joshua, the son of Nun, rise to position. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Joshua 1:1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Now who was Joshua? It says that he was son of Nun. But we find in other places in the scripture that he was an Ephraimite, or a descendant, or of the tribe of Ephraim. And that is found in Numbers 13, 8 through 16. Now, when you turn there, we find in the scriptures three different names called the son of Nun. And we're going to see those. So how do we know that this referring to this guy and not two brothers? Numbers 13:8, and this is the accounting of the for the spies to go into the land. And it says, of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. Now, could that have been Joshua's brother? So we have to take the things that we were taught last week and search the scripture to see what it was. Exegesis. Verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Now we're getting closer. And if you follow that through and use cross-reference, you'll find that it is indeed Joshua. And Joshua is just, he's also mentioned as Hosea, Hosea. So it's different names for the same guy. We don't have time this morning to trace that all through. But he was of the tribe of Ephraim. Anybody know anything significant about the tribe of Ephraim? At Manasseh, yes. Anything significant about Ephraim and Manasseh? In the early days. Okay. Ephraim and Manasseh, you'll find these references. Genesis 46:20. Genesis 48:8-20. And Genesis 41:50-52. You're going to find there is Ephraim and Manasseh were sons of Joseph. If you remember the story of Joseph, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and eventually, over a period of time, he was made in second command of Egypt. And the Lord gave Pharaoh dreams that there was going to be 7 plenty years and 7 years of famine. And it was through Joseph that the whole land was saved, because he stored up the grains and that whole story. Now, Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Ephraim was the younger, Manasseh was the older, and he took him to his father Jacob to get the blessing. Normally, the elder son gets the blessing, but Jacob crossed his arms and gave the greater blessing to Ephraim. Now, for those of curious minds, Joseph's wife, in the Genesis scripture, says that her name was Aseneth, and that her dad was priest of On. Aseneth may not have been her name, but a title. And I'm going to let you guys chase that bunny trail if you want to. Priest of On was the worship of the sun god Ra. So here's Joseph gets married into this family because she's given to him by Pharaoh. Don't argue with the king. They have, in this mixed union, you have two half-breed boys, Manasseh and Ephraim, of which now we find Joshua, the son of Nun, is from the tribe of Ephraim. Somebody's going to look that up, and you guys can chase that on your own time. Okay. All right. Exodus 33:11. Turn in your Bibles, please. All right, Exodus 33:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp, which he means he went back into the camp. But his servant, Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. There is another place that somebody stayed and sat at Jesus' feet. And that was the story of Mary and Martha. Luke 10, please. 38-42. I should have told you to hold your place in Joshua when we were there. Because we're going to be going back there. Sorry.
Okay.
Luke 10:38-42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, that he would be Jesus. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And he said, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. And Joshua, the son of Nun, stayed in the tabernacle after Moses left. Do you see a correlation between the two? And Jesus said, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. They both sat and received from God after the leaders had left. Well, Jesus was still there, but Moses had left. They said, Joshua, Moses' servant, stay there. The Bible says he was a young man. Okay. Go back to Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1:1-9. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Excuse me. Only be thou strong and very courageous, though thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. All right. Servanthood. During the American Revolution, a man in civilian clothes rode past a group of soldiers repairing a small defense barrier. The leader was shouting instructions, but making no attempt to help him. When the riders asked why he did not help, he retorted with great dignity, "Sir, I am a corporal." The stranger apologized, dismounted, and proceeded to help the exhausted soldiers. The job done, he turned again to the corporal and said, "Mr. Corporal, next time you have a job like this and not enough men to do it, go to your commander-in-chief and I will help you and come again." It was none other than George Washington. George Washington showed that he was not only a great leader but also a great servant. In fact, it was his servant attitude that endeared him to many of the early Americans. His willingness to help others paved the way for his leadership of others. Joshua was that same kind of servant. Joshua was chosen to lead the children of Israel when Moses died. His task would not be to lead them through the wilderness, but through intense battles in their obedience to God's command to occupy the promised land. But why did God choose Joshua of all people? In a time when so many from Joshua's generation were not permitted to see the promised land, why did God select him to lead the Israelites? Well, let's look over the characteristics of the life of Joshua. Again, we go back to the book of Exodus 24. 12 through 15, let's turn there. And the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me in the mount and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." And Moses rose up, and his minister, Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said to the elders, "Tarry ye here for us, and we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have a matter to do, let him come to them." What did that just say about Joshua? What else did it say about Joshua? Moses had him with him. And he was called by God. Okay, he was Moses' right-hand man, his confidant, his servant. He didn't lobby for leadership or demand to be placed in control. He was content to aid and assist Moses in any possible way. Joshua, the immediate successor to Moses as the leader of Israelites, is fitting for the second figure we're looking for in this study. He had a Herculean task. He had to lead the people in war. Not just through the wilderness, but in war. Into the promised land. We just read Joshua 1 through 9. Turn in your Bibles to Numbers 13, please. No, I'm sorry. Numbers 14. Yes. Right on the next page over. 5 through 10. Now this is after the spies spied out the land. Two guys, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report. 10 guys came back with a bad report. Okay? Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh were not which were of them, searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stones with them, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, came back with a good report. They said, the people of the land are bread for us. Hebraism that we talked about last time. There's one of them. That means we can take this. If the Lord is with us, we can take this.
Amen.
But God gave Joshua a command. Joshua 1, where we had read 1 through 9, verse 8 said, but you must meditate on my law day and night, because if you do so, you'll have good success. God in his grace did not only command Joshua to be strong and courageous, but he also gave the leader of Israel visible confirmation of his commitment to go with his people and grant them success. Joshua chapter 5, 13 through 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, or opposite of him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, or no. But as captain of the Lord of hosts, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Who's the captain there? That's right. You find the same person appearing in Daniel. We're not going to go there because we're short on time already. Daniel 3, 8 through 25, same person. Whether at war or at peace, in lack or in plenty, whether our circumstances, this is the question we face each day. Indeed, when Jesus spoke from the mount, he made the same point. He did so because, like Joshua, we need to learn the same point. Like Joshua, we need to look at our obstacles. We need to look at our obstacles not in fear and confusion, and ask the question, will we be able to win this struggle at work? Will we be able to tame this challenge in our homes? Will we be able to overcome this obstacle at church? And if our prayer lies as we meet with the Father, through God the Son, we ask sometimes in hope, other times in despair, whether he is with us, whether he will come to aid and win the battle for us. And in his grace, in his terrible sovereign power and authority, he tells us, no. But rather he will when we are on his side, as we see that Joshua did when he met the commander of the Lord of the hosts. Because the question was, Joshua 5, Joshua asked him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but as a captain of the Lord, the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. He didn't say what side he was on. He was saying, are you going to be on my side? And that's the same approach that we have to take with all the obstacles we come up against as people. Lord, are you going to be on my side? He says, no. You be on my side.
That's right. Then it'll work.
Yeah.
God's not on our side. God wants us to be on His side. God wants us... See, God's way is blessed. And when we do things God's way, like if we are honest and we are caring and we are like Jesus, it doesn't matter which side. God's going to work out the right. But what He wants us is to be on His side, not try to get Him to come bless what we're doing or give us our way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, knowing these things about Joshua, how can one know whether they are to be a good leader? How do you spot a good leader? Amen. A good servant.
A good follower. You could not be a good leader, but not a good follower.
That's right. And, amen. The end. Sure.
In the Scripture, you'll find that God called people that were doing what they should be doing.
While they were doing it, then God called them into ministry. For example, Elijah and Elisha. God was working through Elijah, but then here's Elisha who was doing this, he was working, and Elijah came along, found him working, and because he was doing what he should be doing, not sitting around waiting, but he was doing what he should be doing. And so therefore he was called, because that's what God does, is he takes people that are working, people that are faithful, people that are serving, people that are doing that. It's easier to steer a moving bicycle than a parked bicycle. If the bicycle's moving, it's easy to steer it. If somebody is working and doing this, God can steer them in the right way. But to try to get a bicycle moving, it's like trying to get somebody off of dead center, sitting there, lazy. It's like there's a whole lot more trying to get them to move. Practical application. What has God called you to do? What has He put in front of you right now? What is it right now He wants you doing? Because you'll never get to what He's called you to do if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing right now. If you're faithful in little, He'll make you ruler over much.
How do you find that?
I find it works quite well.
No. How is it then that you find what you're supposed to be doing now?
Two things, at least that jump to me right away. Number one is God has given you leaders, and He will have them ask you to do things, or like one thing is like, what do you see that needs to be done? Ask God. And number two, if you simply ask God, John 7:17, if any man will do His will, will move to do what God wants him to do, then he shall know. All you got to do is ask God. God, I'm willing to do it. What do you want me to do? Not if you tell me what you want me to do, I'll decide whether I want to do it or not. Then you're God, not him. And he says, no, let me know how that works for you. I'll bypass you. I'll go get somebody who's willing and available. If we're willing and available, and then God will show us what he wants to do, and then you just start doing that. And then God will bring the promotion. You don't need to promote yourself.
Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We give you praise, Father, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for what you're doing among us. We thank you for your wonderful, wonderful provisions of pastors and teachers and preachers and servants. We pray, Father, that each and everyone here would find their place, that they would begin to see the things that need to be done and find their place. And we give you praise. We ask, Father, that you would anoint the rest of the service today. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.